So James 1, we'll start off right away and get into it. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And tonight I would want to talk to you about patient faith. Patient faith. And now as we look, first of all, at faith and patience, we see that in verse 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's in verse 3. When we think about Christ's ministry on earth, when he talked with people and when people asked things for him, he always looked for faith. When somebody asked a miracle of him, he always asked, can you believe? Do you believe I can do this? And you can think of the man who had a demon-possessed child and asked the Lord to help him. And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And the man said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And he just constantly looked for faith, obviously not a blind faith, a faith in God, a faith in himself, in Jesus Christ. And constantly looked for faith. And faith is a basic thing for a Christian. Faith is a basic to being a Christian. And Christ taught faith. Christ also taught faith. Here's an interesting passage in Luke 17, verse 5 and 6. And the apostle said unto him, the Lord said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, we often hear and pray, Lord, grow my faith. Grow my faith. But what does that mean? You know, we often tell each other, you need to grow in your faith. But what does that mean? The apostles that say it here is, Lord, increase our faith. Does that mean that we need a greater quantity of faith, that we need to put an IV bag of faith to us and pump in some more faith into our body, into our systems? I think it's something different than that. I mean, obviously, even Jesus, he recognized different faith that had a different quality. Think of the Syrophoenician woman, and when she was persistent and asked for the Lord's help and said, you know, even the dogs feed off the crumbs under the table. The Lord said, woman, great is thy faith. So what does it mean to grow in your faith? I don't think it's a greater quantity of faith, an IV bag. But if you turn to 2 Peter, it's a familiar passage. Make sure I keep my spot in James. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. So patience is a word in James. And to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. So it's not so much that, oh, I have more faith or I have little faith. It's your quality of faith. It's what, and when we look at James, he specifically points out patience. And a patient faith. It's just not faith. Faith is, in its very rare, raw, basic form, a belief. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? But as we grow in our faith, we're supposed to add these, the Lord is supposed to add these different things to our faith. And one of them is patience, according to James. So the Lord constantly taught faith, and he's looking to build our faith. So what is patience? Patience simply is the ability to remain where you are under extreme circumstances or discomfort or something you're not comfortable with. It's being able to remain there. Can you see? Are you beginning to see how important this is to your faith, to my faith? That our faith is patient. First Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. This is another word to define patience, being able to endure where you're at, stay there. And you can just hear from this verse, as he's speaking to the Thessalonians, how encouraged he was that, and how the other Christians, other churches were encouraged by the testimony of the Thessalonians to be patient, to endure their persecutions, their trials, to remain faithful to the Lord, to remain walking with the Lord. And then secondly, I want you to see the test of faith. So verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So trial of our faith. Our test of faith is anything that challenges you to live what you say you believe. Our test of faith is anything that challenges you to live what you say you believe. And the first Bible illustration that I can think of, and in the book of James gives it too, is in chapter 5, verse 11, is Job. Job. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, when we look at Job, how in the world did he survive, go through everything that he did, went through? He had patient faith. He had patient faith. And you remember, how did that whole story of Job start? Well, God pointed out Job to Satan. And he said, you see him? You see Job, my servant? He's faithful. He escheweth evil. And how did Satan respond? He said, Well, that's because you made it easy for him, God. If you just let his life be a little hard, he's not going to live. He's not going to live what he says he believes. Now, if you make his life real hard, he'll curse you to your face. It's our test. It's a test of our faith. And we know that the end, the story of Job, he endured, and God was glorified, and still is glorified because we have the book of Job and we can read it. And we can get testimony from it and help from it. Jesus even talked about faith and patience. Faith and patience. And if you can even look at this too yourself in Luke 4, 16 and 17, or I can just read it for you. Luke 4, 16 and 17. And that's not the passage I wanted. Let's look at this other passage. Mark 8. I'm sorry, folks. I don't know why those passages are wrong. But here, let me tell you this parable. Okay, the parable of the sower and the seed. All right? You remember that? You remember the seed was the word of God. And it was cast on the wayside, and it was plucked up by birds. And then you had seed that was cast on stony ground. And what happened to that? That it sprung up for a time, and then it was scorched. And then Jesus explained the parable. It was somebody who received the word of God, and it says that they received it joyfully. They believed it. But then when trial, tribulation came for the word's sake, they were offended. And they left off. They didn't endure. And they left off believing. And they walked away. Jesus talks about faith and patience. And that's the test of our faith. Is something that a trial has to come, hardness has to come to test. Do you really believe what you believe? Do you live what you say you believe? That's our test of our faith. And then you have the fruit of our faith. The fruit of faith. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience takes time. Endurance takes time. And that's why it says, let patience have its perfect work or complete work. Because when we look at Job, there is an end to the trial. And what does it say in that verse, in verse 11 of chapter 5 in James? It says, what about the Lord's end? And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. If you think about Jesus when he saw the people, the multitude scattered abroad and like sheep having no shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. Think about that when it says the Lord's end, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And you know the end of Job, how the Lord blessed. There's an end to the trial, to the test, and if we're faithful, if you're patient, there's fruit, and fruit to God's glory. But also, we need to learn patience in our faith to continue growing. Because think about it. If faith can't endure, are you going to grow in anything else? When you think of in Peter, that passage we read in Peter, 2 Peter. The other things, growing in knowledge, adding to your faith knowledge, virtue. How can the Lord add those things to you if you haven't learned patience in your faith? If your faith hasn't been tested and you haven't endured a time where you can say, I've experienced trusting God and for a long time, and seeing him come through. But also, we have the action of faith. The action of faith, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and shall be given him. It's prayer. The action of faith is prayer. When our faith is being tested, and I'm pretty sure everybody in this room, your faith is being tested in some way. Mine is right now, in different ways. Are we going to face the problem in God's strength, in God's grace? We do that by prayer. We do that by going to him. We can't make ourselves grow. We can't fix our problems. But we know one who can. We are only able to endure affliction, walk through uncertainty, and change into the image of Christ as we consistently humble ourselves at the throne of grace to ask for help in time of need. Here's a string of verses that I think of when when going to God for asking for wisdom, for asking for help, for grace in a time of need. When my faith, when I don't feel like believing anymore, when I don't feel like praying anymore. You think of Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to him, and he'll take care of your way. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Matthew 6:26, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's the action of faith. It's taking everything to God. And when our faith is being tested, we have to go to God. We have to pray. We have to cast everything on him, because if we don't, we're already failing the test. Prayer is such an easy concept, yet it can be hard just to do. It's another thing just doing it sometimes. But that is why we need to learn patience. Lastly, we have about 5 minutes left. The hardship of failed faith. The hardship of failed faith. Let's read verse 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. First of all, the hardship of failed faith. Prayer needs faith, and faith needs patience. James pictures this man who's wavering as he prays. One who's doubting, who has uncertainty when he prays. And he likens him to a wave of the sea. This summer, when I was out on the group, traveling with a quartet, we were able to go to the beach. We did find a beach. We were told by a pastor that of a beach that had no people on it. So we went to a beach that had no people on it, and it was great. So, and we love to run out in the water and crash into the waves, just take on the sea. And it was fun because when we would go and take on the wave, and it'd crash over on our heads, it would knock us down and pull us back to the beach. It would come in, crash, and then when we'd stand up, you would feel a current under your legs that was pulling water back out to the sea. And that's how he's illustrating this man that's wavering, that has no patience in his faith. It's a wave. He mounts up, he comes in, and then he crashes. And then he gets sucked back out in the sea. And then he mounts back up, and he goes out towards the beach, and he crashes and gets sucked back out in the sea. And he never gets on solid ground. He never gets on solid ground. Secondly, there is no guarantee your prayers will be answered. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a Christian, that's horrible. Not having your prayers answered. Not being able to give any testimony. Hey, Lord, answered this prayer. Thirdly, verse 8. There is the double-minded man, it causes him to not be able to stand in any situation. Because he's double-minded. He has one foot in this life and one foot in this life. Sure, he comes through the church doors. He comes to church. He sings and he prays even. But how is he handling his situations? He's not really believing God. No, he's handling it himself. And we can even say that with that word unstable, we can even give another idea of not being able to control. He's wanting to control the situation. Oh, sure, he'll give honor to God, but man, I'm going to control my situation. That's no life for a Christian. Studying this passage has been convicting to me, and I've asked for the Lord to grow me in my faith, and specifically to add patience to my faith. So what about you? We often don't want trouble. We don't want trouble. But when we ask the Lord, Lord, grow my faith, or if you want to be more specific, Lord, add patience to my faith. I want to see you be faithful, Lord. I want to see you pull us through. You're gonna have tests. Your faith is gonna be tested. So are you willing to ask the Lord, grow my faith? But remember, there's an end. The Lord, that if you endure, the end of the Lord is good. There'll be fruit. You'll move on in your faith. You'll have a stronger faith. So let's have patient faith. Let's ask the Lord for a patient faith.